Luke 18:9-14 says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican, or tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The simple thought tonight is this matter of praying with honesty, learning to pray with honesty. Being honest with God is a key to a healthy prayer life. If I'd approached you tonight as you walked towards the church entrance, and I'd thrown on a different shirt, and I had a ski mask on and some gloves, and I walked up to you and I said, please, could you give me some money? I need some money. How would you respond to that? You would not respond very positively. Anybody who walks up to you when it's 80 degrees outside with a ski mask on asking for money is not forthright and not reliable. Now, what if I had approached you as you walked towards the church entrance tonight, looking just like I do right now, without my microphone perhaps, and I asked you for some money? You still may not give it to me, at least there on the spot, but you would at least consider it. After all, I am your pastor, right? And I probably shouldn't be walking around the sidewalks asking you for money. But you would consider it in a much more serious way than you would have if I had a ski mask on and you didn't know who I was. And yet, that is perhaps what we can do when we come to the Lord in prayer. We can come to Him with our spiritual ski masks on, asking Him for things. Now, God knows who's on the other side of the mask. He really does. But a person whose heart is in a place that is not honest in their requesting, God is not probably going to trust them with a lot of answers and responsiveness, because whatever He gives them will not be reliably handled. And so you see this man, this Pharisee, standing in the temple, and he prays, and it's interesting, it says, with himself. His talking was not reaching God, apparently. He was speaking sound that only his own ears were hearing. He thought he was talking to God. He says, "I thank thee that I am not as other men." He uses the mask here of general comparison, covering his faults by pointing out people who seem to be failing more than he was. So we find this man who is in his prayer time approaching God and saying, "I'm so glad that I'm better than other people." That is not a good start when you're wanting to talk to the Lord, comparing yourself generally with other people. If you look the world over, yes, you're going to find someone who doesn't look as good as you. But that's besides the point. You're still in need. We also see this man here using the mask of hideous sins. He talks, when he's talking about other people, he talks about hideous sins. And we know what this is like, for instance, when we're talking to someone in a gospel witnessing situation, evangelizing. We'll say, "Have you ever sinned?" And they said, "Yes." "Have you ever told a lie?" "Yes, I probably have told a lie." "You ever steal a candy bar when you were in high school?" "Yeah, I probably did that. But I never committed adultery. I didn't kill anyone. I've never killed anyone." We like to jump immediately to the very big, hideous, blatant sins as we categorize them in our minds and say, "Well, I've never done that. I thank the God that I'm not like this and I don't do those kind of things." Well, that's not the question. The question is, have you failed in any way? So the mask of comparing with the hideous sins of others, the mask of neighbor comparison. He says here, "I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here." And it's interesting because the first word in his list is extortioner. He's already thinking about the publican when he gets to start praying. He's very insecure. He's very much aware of this guy over here. And he's comparing himself with this man who is nearby. And we can do this with people that are nearby us as well. This can happen in our family relationships close at home. It's so easy because you know each other so well to feel justified in your coming to the Lord. I'm so thankful that I am better than someone really close to you. And you have this spiritual role that you feel that you're better. And you come to God on that kind of self-confidence, and God's not listening. The mask of good behavior, he says, look, I fast 2 times a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess. Covering your failures by drawing attention to choices that appear to be spiritually successful. But when you take time to look at all of this, this praying that he thinks he's doing, you find something remarkable. He's not even praying. He hasn't asked God for anything. He hasn't asked God for an audience. He hasn't asked God to meet any needs. All he does in this case is tell God in all the ways he feels that he doesn't have a need. Then why is he talking to God? What is prayer? Prayer is asking. And one of the core principles to being successful at asking God for things is actually having a need. A need that God wants to meet and is able to meet. We need to be honest in our praying. Childlike honesty is required. A grandma once said this, in the car, my 4-year-old granddaughter asked me why I was wearing the brightly colored scarf I had on. I said, I thought it would make my blue suit look much prettier. After a moment's consideration, the granddaughter replied sympathetically, didn't work though, did it, Grandma? That's the kind of honesty that we need to have with God. Maybe we had a plan and we thought it was just a great plan. Maybe we thought that God even led us in the plan and we go out and we charge that plan with everything that we have and we tack on some prayer and we get some people to join us and it doesn't work. Falls apart. Perhaps our ego gets hurt or we feel our reputation has been affected by it. And we go back to God and we kind of just gloss over all that and get to asking for the next thing. And God says, well, let's talk about the last thing there. Let's talk about that. We need to be able to come to God and say, God, I blew it. I know you already know that, but I just had to tell you that. I don't know what the more scientific or theological word for it is, but I messed up. It was not good. I need your help. Where did that go wrong? Where did I go wrong? I need help. See, if you come to him and kind of just kind of gloss over the needs in your life, he's not going to let you move on and start asking for more stuff. Let's talk about that. We have to be honest with God. This man who was honest with God, the publican, was a tax collector. You say, what's so evil about a tax collector? Well, today, nothing in particular. But back at that period of time, the way a tax collector made money was the Roman government hired them. They did not have a payroll for them. They assigned them a certain tax rate for certain kinds of people. It was an unpublished tax rate from what I know. And they would take that information and they would charge and assess taxes on people, but they wouldn't tell them the markup. They wouldn't tell them how much higher above the government enforced rate they were charging them. And people knew that these tax collectors were really inflating the rates. They just didn't know by what margin. And these tax collectors would turn on their friends and charge them taxes and make huge money off of them, pass along the tax to the Roman government and keep the rest. And they were living in very opulent houses and wealthy conditions while the rest of their partners and friends weren't. They were ripping people off. And this tax cheat is standing in the temple and he's saying, oh God, I just got to admit to you, I'm falling far short. I need mercy. I need mercy. You know, I look at the list of this Pharisee and all the things he did right or the things he didn't do, and I'd like to know about all the other things he didn't mention. His list is kind of short, isn't it? He says he didn't commit extortion or adultery, and he says that he didn't do unjust judgment against people in public. But there's some other sins that could have been mentioned, aren't there? They're missing from the list. This is not a complete Ten Commandments list here. There's only 3 things mentioned. Sometimes the things that a person brings up in settings like this might actually be the very things that he was guilty of. The word sinner, when this man, the publican, says, "I'm a sinner," what he's saying there, that word sin, simply means to fall short or to miss the mark. If you take an arrow or a dart and you throw it at a target, you want to hit that bullseye, and if you don't hit it, you sinned. You missed the mark. If you go to the store looking to get a particular product for somebody's birthday or anniversary, and it's not there at the store, you come home, you missed the mark. You didn't purchase what you went out to get. And what this man is saying is, I blew it. I missed the mark. I'm missing the mark all the time. I need you to help me. We need to learn to say to the Lord at the beginning of our prayer times, I'm not hitting the mark, Lord, as a husband or a wife. As a parent, I'm not really cutting it right now, Lord. As a church member, I am falling short. As a neighbor, I am terrible. As a Christian victorious over sin, not so much, Lord. As a Christian who is daily in the Word and in prayer, let me not gloss over that. Let me just finally tell you this. I'm not doing it. You could tell the Lord that. He already knows it. Tell Him. And move on with Him helping you. You say, why doesn't God ever talk to me? And yes, God doesn't use audible voices, but there's that inner communion in your spirit that we must be aware of. It's based, first of all, by being grounded in the Word. But there's a relationship you can have with the Lord, not to be mistaken. And if God is strangely silent, maybe it's because you're strangely silent at the beginning of your prayer time, admitting your need. If you want to have a conversation with God, if you want to hit the mark in your prayer time, admit where you're missing the mark at the beginning of your prayer time. And don't worry about all the specialized words. God will help you with that. Just start talking. And tell Him. Use very ordinary language if you have to. As a church, let's grow together in our honesty with God in prayer. Let's be more free to pray and to say things like, God, today hasn't been very great for me. I've been discouraged and I need your help. Or, I've been selfish, Lord, actually. Today I've been so busy I haven't had time for other people, and I'm sure part of that is my fault. I'm struggling with bitter feelings. Please help me to overcome them. It's when you say things like that in prayer that sometimes you feel like God is actually speaking back now. Oh, thank you for saying that. Now let me help you with that. Maybe bring a verse to mind. But if you keep skipping those things, that's all you think about your whole prayer time. You never get anywhere. And you wonder if He answered any prayers. And it just seems quiet. When you learn to pray with honesty in private and in public, you will find that God begins to be more honest and open with you. If you really want God to tell you the truth, not He will never lie, but sometimes He's just quiet. If you want Him to tell you the truth, you tell Him the truth. Then He'll trust you with more of it. When you're wearing the mask, you won't discover much personal interaction and intervention coming from God. He doesn't like to talk with His children when they're wearing masks. But when you learn to take off your mask, you find that God is much freer to interact with you in your spirit. Being honest with God is a key to a healthy prayer life. Sometimes I feel like in our corporate prayer times together as a church, we're waiting to get a special feeling. We're waiting to get more spiritual, and we never get there, so we never pray. Anyone in the church should be free to pray if they have a relationship with the Lord. And if you need to start by saying, God, I wanted to pray, but I just got to say something. I need your help because I just kind of blew it today. Would you just help me now get geared into this prayer time? Instead of sitting there and saying, well, I can't say anything. I'm going to chalk this off. I'm going to wait for other people to pray. Then I'll go home. No, just get involved because there's probably a few other people who should say something like that too sometimes. And they just need you to break the ice. God is waiting for us to be honest with Him. We don't have to be morbid. We don't have to glorify our sin. We don't have to leave on a discouraged note. But just be honest. God, I blew it today. I've been selfish. I haven't cared for people. So would you help me with that, Lord, because I really want to pray tonight. And would you help me? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. That kind of just honesty is so important. For me today as your pastor, it's been a generally good day, I think. But I'm struggling with some sickness a little bit and tiredness. And I don't feel as great as I do sometimes. And the Lord could help me have wisdom to know, is there something spiritually involved there? I just want God to work tonight. Sometimes I don't know, is it sickness or spiritual weak? I don't know. I don't always know. But I want God to meet with us tonight. I don't want this just to be a prayer time that we just go through and check it off. And whatever God puts on your heart, just be honest with Him and let Him calibrate you and get you tuned in to Him tonight. And any one of us can pray. So let's go to prayer. Let me give you a few things we can pray about together. Let's start tonight with a few minutes of just reflecting and being honest. Let's apply the message that we heard tonight. And I'll give that some time. Once we do that, then I'll interrupt and I'll mention some other prayer requests we could pray about regarding missions. And then depending on the time that we have, I'll end with some prayer requests regarding just our church, people in the church, physical and other things. And we'll kind of take that approach tonight. So we'll start by taking some time. Let's just be honest with the Lord. Just tell Him what He puts on your heart. Then after some time of that reflection, honesty, then we'll do some missions praying. So let's go to prayer.